We're going to start a class in Proverbs. It's going to be a different class than I've ever taught. I've come to the realization that Proverbs was written on a heart-to-heart talk basis. God, through God the Spirit, has instructed us through Proverbs in a conversation where we can just sit down, gather together, go over what he's saying. He repeats himself many times. But in a conversation where we just don't sit down and read a bunch of Proverbs and say there's too many cliches, there's too many do's, there's too many don'ts, and we don't take them into our heart to basically understand that God wants you to think like he's thinking. And if you do that, then you'll face all the problems you have in life. You'll face them with an answer, with a good, basic, common sense answer. And I think if we approach it this way, and we don't try to get ahead of ourselves, and we don't try to cover too much material at one time, but sit down and not only read it, try to understand it, use the wisdom that we have amongst all of us that's been in the church for years and years to discuss situations that maybe you've had and you've found an answer to, as opposed to somebody who may not have had the same situation and needs that advice. Because our number one source is going to be God in the Bible. He's going to set the framework for us to come up with conclusions. When you think about it, you wake up in the morning, you start off with decisions from what I'm going to eat, you know, where am I going to go today? Do I have any bills I got to pay? You know, do I need to call so-and-so and check on them? So we wake up with decisions we have to make all the time. Well, God has put his Proverbs in such a format that you can come up with an answer, a godly answer to everything you face. Not only the mundane things, but the problem things that we face every day, so that we don't suffer from lack of experience, or we have less suffering for lack of experience. If you had a notebook or a piece of paper, there's some things I want to go make a point across before we get into Proverbs, because you're going to need these things to basically understand what Proverbs is all about. Morning, Ken. How you doing, sir? For those who don't know Ken, I don't know who may not know this, Ken Patterson there. He's come to preach to us today. Right, here's some basic assumptions of Proverbs. I don't even know if we're going to get into Proverbs 1 today, because I want you to get into your mindset what we need to have, how we want to approach this book. The basic assumptions of Proverbs, what that means is, for you to understand fully and to put Proverbs into your life, you've got to have these things ingrained within you. And that is that God exists. God is almighty and he exists. The next thing we need to understand is we have a responsibility as sons and daughters that he's made. We have a responsibility to him. The third thing is there is a reward for being good. There is a reward for that. And then in number four, there's a punishment for those who are wicked and disobey. We've got to assume that these things exist before we can get into to accepting and getting wisdom. And then the fifth thing is Proverbs is full of unspeculative optimism that God will prevail. In the end, when it's all over with, when our life is over with, when this earth is over with, God will prevail. You've often heard that there's a beginning of Proverbs. Does anybody remember where the Proverbs, where wisdom begins? Where is
knowledge of God.
Huh?
Knowledge of God.
The fear.
Yeah.
the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when we talk about fear, I don't want you to think it's a terror fear, or that you're scared of him, or he's going to do evil things or harmful things to you. The fear of the Lord really means, if you want to copy this down, it's an awesome respect and honor. There's automatically there's a deference to God, which automatically comes to every mind that contemplates him when you think about him. When you think about God, automatically you think of someone that's in control. He's an awesome God. You give him all your respect. You give him all your glory. You acclaim all of his holiness. And this is expressed throughout Proverbs. I think I've counted now 14 times. To give you one instance, someone turn to Proverbs 8 and read 13 for me. This is just one of 14 times that the author of Proverbs puts this thought in your mind. He wants you to remember this. Someone, guys, read it. Proverbs 8:13.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate.
So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and God hates a perverse mind. So every time we talk about the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom, then we want to have that. But before you're through with Proverbs, we'll cover all 14 examples of this. God wants you to have his mindset, by the way. In order for us to comprehend it and have it as part of our actions, as part of our mindset, part of what we think about, he wants you to have it. And that will tell us how to live in this world and make the best decisions that we face on a day-to-day basis. That's from every action that you have, from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to sleep at night. He wants your mindset to be his mindset. That doesn't mean that God's going to force anything on you and I, but he's going to put it out there in such a way that if you get into his mindset and face problems with his mindset, promise you long life, good health. He promises you less conflict. He promises you that you'll make good decisions in your work. You'll make good decisions in your money, on how you handle your money. You'll make good decisions on how you can, whether you got children or whether you got sisters, brothers, family. He has all kind of promises in there that God will keep. God doesn't lie. But you want to get into his mindset. And that's why I think if we do this like we're sitting down and having a conversation with God every morning, every Sunday morning when we go over this class, by the end you will have his mindset. You may not have it completely because you never will. You'll never. This is one of those unending things. We'll never learn enough wisdom, never have enough wisdom. But we'll be closer to God and we'll make much better decisions about the wisdom that he gives us. The name Proverbs comes from the term Mashal. It's a Hebrew term, M-A-S-H-A-L. And that root meaning is putting this and that together. Mashal means Proverbs, putting this and that together. Proverbs may also be translated as a parable, by the way, or an allegory. We're familiar with parables that Jesus had. An allegory means something like this allegory. Our common definition would be like a pithy saying, one that sticks out to you, that gets into your memory bank. It's an experience that condenses the wisdom of experience into an adage or a maxim, and it'll ring such an importance in our mind that we'll remember that. When you're growing up, when I got hurt, I remember I'd be crying something, and my mother would say, it'll get well before you get married. Yeah. When you think about that, that's a pithy saying. Because it will get married well before you get married. And not only that, it also says you've got a lot of time to heal before that comes about. There's a lot of those sayings that pretty is pretty does. You know, it's not so much as what you see, but your actions. These are all the kind of proverbs that we've heard, but never put them into, never explored them to see what all they mean. Beauty's only skin deep. I know you guys have heard that all through your life. So beauty is not what you look at. Beauty is what comes from the inward. Proverbs were often quoted in the New Testament writers, by the way, Hebrew, James, Peter, Corinthians, Galatians, Luke, Romans. You'll find Proverbs all through there. Jesus used Proverbs quite often. I want someone to turn to Proverbs 14:11. And someone, by the way, turn to Proverbs 25:6-7. And somebody else, 27:1. Proverbs 27:1. If you get to 14:11, and see if you recognize this, where Jesus used this proverb.
The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will be flourished.
All right. Build your house, not on sand. You build your house on rock. How about 25:6-7? And the parable of Jesus almost used that word for word. But that thought, don't go in a place and put yourself up top. They may come to you and say, hey, I saved from somebody else up there. You come on, sit down here. Which embarrasses you? So sit down here and see if you may get called up to the top, which will exalt you. How about 27:1? All right. So Jesus repeated, God's in control of tomorrow. We're not in control of tomorrow. God's in control of tomorrow. So he borrowed these thoughts. Not sometimes he used the exact word, but sometimes he just used the thought. So Jesus used Proverbs. So we know that he had a great respect for Proverbs. Whatever person of whatever classification or whatever nationality or whatever color, if you read the Proverbs, you'll get profit out of it. It's meant for everybody. Kings and rulers of the earth, presidents, prime ministers, all the most humble and most obscure may find a catalog of instructions that will bless them and benefit them. There's going to be benefits to fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, wives, husbands, neighbors, employees, employers, friends, relatives, your enemies. Proverbs can cover all that. There's some place in the Proverbs that you'll find an answer to everything we face in this life. Every person. Proverbs is like it's been condensed to where God is sitting down and going over it in such detail as if he's having a conversation with a and he's our personal teacher. I'm talking about through God, the Holy Spirit. It's like he's sitting down with you and going over with you line by line and objective by objective by having a personal conversation with you and I. You know, the unique thing or odd thing about it, and no one's been able to explain this, but I picked this up in some of my readings. Nowhere in Proverbs does it mention Israel. Does it mention the law of Moses? Nowhere. It doesn't mention anything about great political events that happened in those days in Hebrew history. And neither is it in the mention of a temple, priest, or prophets in Proverbs. That's unusual. Proverbs is divided into five parts. that we're going to be going over Proverbs of Solomon, which is chapters 1 through 9. More Proverbs of Solomon, chapters 10 through 24. Proverbs of Solomon as copied by Hezekiah, 25 to 29. And the words of Eger, chapter 30. And the words of Lemuel's mother in Proverbs 31. Solomon authored over 3,000 Proverbs. 1 Kings tells us that. Only a little over 500 is covered here, so we won't cover the vast majority of them. People have asked why aren't the others included in the Bible. Well, you know Solomon didn't have too respectable of a past when he got a little age on him. And so it's not that his Proverbs weren't still true, but they didn't want to their concepts, they didn't want to magnify him because of the errors that he had in his day-to-day life. Solomon was considered the literary prodigy of the world in his day. Kings and queens came to see him from afar, all over the earth, to see Solomon. He lectured on botany. He lectured on zoology. He was a successful ruler. He was a successful businessman. He was a moralist. He was a preacher. He was a philosopher. And he was a poet. Proverbs and Solomon are best being examples of him being a poet and a philosopher. Now, to understand when we go through Proverbs line by line, you're going to come up with words that in our realm, the thinking or the definition of them is a little bit different than were in his day. So you might want to copy this down if you get a chance. Wisdom, when we refer to wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge the right way. We have a great advantage over the Old Testament because we have Paul's instructions to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians. It says, for him, he's talking about God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom of God and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that's basically the ability to use all the knowledge we have that can be comprehended out there, using it in the right way. Now, wisdom has a lot of facets to it. It's like a diamond. And it should be considered by us as valuable as a diamond. Wisdom has a facet called instructions. And instructions in Hebrew is translated as chasten. So when he talks about giving instructions, he's talking about someone being corrected, you know, being off the wrong track and brought back. So if you get instructions of it, the true meaning of it would be discipline. So when God gives us instructions, he has really given us discipline. So when you see that word throughout Proverbs, then you want to be thinking in that term. It's often said that the omission of this part, discipline, by the way, has ruined entire generations. When we don't discipline our children, then entire generations can be lost because of that. So instruction includes discipline, and discipline is part of having wisdom. I've got a note here. It says, parents disciplining this divine part of God's wisdom and discipline, their offspring, are rearing basically animals. Instead of men and women, this failure in thousands of instances a day of children have become haters and even killers of their own parents without discipline. Another quality of wisdom is prudence. So when you see this word, you can see it in there, prudence. Prudence is that word that takes in the account of the consequences of one's behavior. Pardon me, I'm sorry, but I should have turned it off. Pardon me for that. So when we say a prudence, it's you go take into consequence. You might, all right, let me show you an example of this. is having foresight or forethought when you say something, when you want to discuss something, of the future consequences of what you're saying. In other words, if you had a group of people, and one person walks up to you, and you recognize that person has had error in their life or something that you've been trying to correct, and you make something to do right in the crowd, that's not prudent. You take that person off to the side and probably discuss that with him, not in front of the crowd. And prudence could be considered in a lot of other examples like that. The word simple is used, by the way. It's used 14 times in Proverbs. It doesn't refer to a simpleton. You know what the difference between simple and simpleton? Simpleton is someone born that way. A simple person that's referred to in Proverbs is a sinner or a rascal. So if you're simple, you've turned your back on God. Sin doesn't mean much to you. And you're considered a sinner or a rascal. Knowledge is a part of that facet of wisdom. Knowledge primarily means information of any kind. Information of any kind. But in Proverbs, knowledge is advocated here as being beneficial, especially if it pertains to the desirable relationship that a Christian has with the Creator and his fellow humans. That's the kind of knowledge we're talking about. You could have great knowledge of robbing a bank. You could have great knowledge of cracking a safe. But here we're talking about that knowledge is beneficial for us. Discretion. Here's a quality of wisdom that is that has respect for what is desirable and appropriate as contrasted to what is the opposite, especially in regards to the feelings and circumstances of others who may see our actions or hear our words. So you just don't. Discretion means that you pick and choose the place and the time that you want to talk to someone about something, or you want to correct them. Learning implies the ability to execute, practice, and apply information. A theoretical example of this, if you want to learn how to play baseball, but you've never learned to play the game, or you never will learn how to play the game, you'll get it in practice. So you've got to put you got to have one part where you put in memory and the other part in how you put that into action. Sound counsel is a part of wisdom. Any attorney will admit there is no knowledge more important than knowledge of where to find the truth. True wisdom lies in the recognition of Him who alone is counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the Blessed Savior Himself. So that's where sound counsel is going to come from. Now, does that mean you can't go to your friend or your neighbor and get sound counsel? What it means, the basis of your wisdom should be godly wisdom, and it comes from God. It's always good to have a sounding board, by the way, and we're going to cover that over in Proverbs. Many times, you're going to be faced with a problem where you need advice, and you need sound counsel. First thing you do is pray to God. The second thing you do is pray to God. The third thing you do is try to seek out a friend that has godly wisdom. And you'll recognize those people and ask them, you know, what the problem is. It's just like today, we're going from these gasoline cars to the electric cars. And I guess inevitably we will. I don't know how quick it's going to be. But we're going to need some wisdom on that. You know, first of all, we're going to have to go to God and say, you know, this thing costs $60,000, guys. Is this something I can afford without hurting my family? And then, what's the repairs on it? You know, if it has to have a new battery, can I afford $6,000 for a brand new battery in my car every time? And then these are the things you can go to the people who have them. Hey, you have an electric car. What do you think of it? How's it doing for you? So you can get wisdom from other people. First of all, pray to God about it. And one of the last words in here, not the last, but one of the last ones is understanding. You'll see that repeated throughout Proverbs. True wisdom carries with it a dominant ingredient which is called common sense. There's nowhere in Proverbs does it mention IQ. So for people who say, there's no way in the world that I could understand what God wants to. There's nowhere in here that IQ or intelligence is common sense. Common sense. My dad used to call it horse sense. Hyperlative answer that you've got to use calculations or someone's got to go ahead and find an explanation on it. Proverbs, God's wisdom is going to give you common sense answers to all the problems that we face today. When we say the fear of Jehovah, and we've talked on this just a while ago, it is not abject, craven fear or terror from God. It's an awesome respect from God. One of the other things we're going to run across here is about a chaplet or a chain around your neck. You know, what was so great about a chaplet or chain around your neck? To the Israelites' mind, no sign or badge of joy or glory were higher in worth than a garland around the head or a gold chain around their neck. It was worn by kings and their favorites. From all the way back to Genesis. Someone, if you would, turn to Daniel 5:29. I want to verify that, because you're going to see this come up quite often about this chaplet or chain around your neck. And Daniel is just one of these that I picked out because I think you'll recognize it when you see it. Daniel 5:29. That was the highest honor you could give somebody. Give him a robe and a thing around his neck. So that's when you see that, and Proverbs tells us that we to be careful how we wear that. And that's basically what they're talking about. You'll see the word sinners listed in Proverbs quite often. Sinners has two Hebrew words for sinners. You're going to recognize this. I recognize, first of all, is Pecantes, P-E-C-A-N-T-E-S. Essence is sinners of generic generation of all human race. You and I, one Pecantes, sinners. That's why we have good, get our cleansing through Jesus Christ. That's why our repentance comes through. But it also has, and back in the Hebrew day, peccatoris, P-E-C-C-A-T-O-R-E-S. P-E-C-C-A-T-O-R-E-S, peccatoris. And those who sin willfully, those who sin maliciously, those who are given to iniquity and persuade others to follow them. And I can't help but think in my mind, and I don't know whether y'all caught this on the news the other day, where this elderly woman was attacked by a strong younger man. But she was not only thrown to the ground, she was kicked as if he was trying to kill her while she was on the ground. If you think like that, there are people out there. The people push people on subway tracks for no reason at all. People, when you get four or five of them together, will pick on a homeless person and kick him while he's down. We must be careful that we never, ever, ever let sin get that kind of a hold on us. And you see the word fools. Fools throughout Proverbs, or simply put, it means anyone who disregards advice, turns his back to it, and doesn't want to hear it. That's a fool. So when you hear that thing, fool, that's basically what they're talking about in Proverbs. Let me make a suggestion to you. If you follow it, I promise you, I not only promise you, but God promises you that you'll gain His wisdom. Proverbs has 31 chapters. Basically, all of our months except February have 30 to 31 chapters. If you would start yesterday on Proverbs 1 and read it, just Proverbs 1 and read it, ponder over it a little bit, put that book down, come back to like today and read Proverbs 2, and do this for the end of the month, 31 days, you will have covered Proverbs. And if you do that next month, 30 days has September, April, June, and November, all the rest have 31. In December, you'll have 31. You'll cover the whole book. Then February will mess it up a little bit. But don't take February, don't take 2 days out of February, out of January, March, to fill in for the days you miss in February. By the end of the year, if you were to do that for every month, your mindset will become the mindset of God. And if you sit down, and I started off doing this, by the way, reading two or three chapters of Proverbs. And what I ended up with, that's a bundle of words. I'll never remember all that stuff. I'll never. And I would give up on it. But I found out if I sat down like I'm having a conversation with you and we have a normal 15, 20-minute conversation, I can comprehend what we're all talking about. But if I rattle on or you rattle on for hours, my mind's been going somewhere else. God recognizes this. And that's why He wants us to sit down and go over this with His word by word. And discuss it too. He just doesn't want me to stand up here and read the stuff to you. He wants us to discuss it. Because you're going to find out when you get into Proverbs, there's some place in there either has happened to you, or is happening to you right now, or will happen to you in the future that you're going to need an answer to. You're going to need a godly answer to. So I would recommend you do that. You do it for a year. You'll get ahead of this class, by the way, because we only meet once a week, so about every 7 days, you're chapters ahead. But that doesn't matter that you're ahead of me. Because we're going to come back and we're going to go over that first chapter, and you will have already had a basic conversation with God in your mind about it that you might prompt you to ask a question or might prompt you to give some advice that somebody else is needing. Don't rush it. Ponder over what the book says. Pray for understanding. Be persistent and be consistent. And I promise you, God promises you that He'll give you wisdom. And from wisdom comes a lot of other benefits. That you'll find out. We said long life, good health, solving many of your daily problems that you have. You'll be blessed financially. It doesn't mean you'll be blessed to be rich, but you'll be blessed to use your money more wisely than you have been used it. A lot of us over the past years, if some of our money has gone to people who wanted to borrow it, people who wanted to co-sign, people who wanted us to go out on a limb. And I tell you right now, if you cannot afford to give it, it doesn't mean you have to give it at that point, but if you cannot afford to just give it away, then you do not get into money guaranteeing for anybody. And He tells us that over and over, so that's not something that we're coming up with. Okay. There's about to be some questions that we've got on the introduction to Proverbs. We are, and we'll be getting into Proverbs 1:1 next week. And then we're going to be getting into it line to line. And hopefully we can cover a chapter in the class. But I have no problems with us spending two or three lessons on a chapter if we're solving problems or if we're gaining wisdom. So that will be up to the class of participating when we get to that. Do not think for a moment that you don't have some wisdom to share. Whether it be through experiences you've had in your lifetime, your marriage, your children, people you work for, your neighbors. But you've got wisdom out there that some of us has not experienced. And we have some experiences that we'll be glad to share with you when we come across them. Any questions?
Question, but can you go back at the beginning? You were giving us the five basic things. Can you say number five again? I'm sorry.
The basic assumptions?
Yes. Go over number five again.
First of all, for you to get any wisdom at all, you've got to know that God exists.
Right, I got one through four, yes.
You have a responsibility of His created human to Him. There is a reward for being righteous. There is a danger of being punished. So there will be punishment for the wicked. And then number five is that Proverbs is really unspeculative optimism that God will always prevail. Regardless of what you feel in your life, how He corrects you, what you're going through at today's time, that God's will prevail. Okay. Anybody else got anything? I'll have these notes because there's some other lists I gave you if you want, particularly the definitions as pertaining to how they're going to come up in Proverbs. And I'll be glad to cover them up with you too when we get to them. We will get to all those words that I mentioned on there, by the way. Wisdom, instructions, learning, sound counsel. We'll be covering, in fact, they all came out of the book of Proverbs. So when we get to those, we might want to rehash that meaning so as we read that, we can know exactly what God is intending for us to comprehend right there. Okay, I'm not going to go into, not going to start lesson number one. We're right on time anyway. But I'm actually looking forward to having a conversation with God every Monday morning. Not that I don't do it in prayer, but to having a conversation with you guys. Okay.